What is up, and welcome into the Locked On Chargers podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Wade, joined as always with my two co-hosts, John Kegley and David Drogemeyer, three writers from San Diego Sports Domination, San Diego's top sports blog, who have been covering the Chargers for four seasons now, doing our own Facebook live show, Chargers Domination Live, which airs weekly. And this is our second season with the Locked On Chargers podcast, bringing you your team every day. All right, guys. Well, on today's show, we have some news, some good news today, because Nazir Adderley is back at practice. And we also had some Anthony Lynn comments about Phillip Rivers potentially playing in week three of the preseason, which most people know is the dress rehearsal game where the starters play extended minutes or snaps in this case. And we get to see more of the guys that are actually going to play this season, not just the guys that are fighting for a roster spot. Week four is when, you know, all the guys at the end of the roster basically get to play the entire game. So we'll start the first segment by talking about Nazir Adderley coming back from injury, getting to practice, and then also how much is going to be on his shoulders now without Derwin James and how much the Chargers need him back on the field and the chances we get to see, you know, Phillip Rivers and some of those guys this week. And then the second and third segments, we're going to use some audio from the Locked On NFL podcast because John got to hang out with Matt Williamson and Brian Peacock to talk all things Chargers. They talk Derwin James, Melvin Gordon. They also talk about the offensive line and the state of the Chargers' struggling offensive line. So the second and the third segments are going to be those. But let's go ahead and get into it, guys. This is your Locked On Chargers lead story. So the news of the day is Nazir Adderley, the second round pick of the Chargers, is back at practice, and something that we've really wanted to see over here at Locked On Chargers, because guys, he was one of the draft picks we are most excited about. He is one of the guys that we thought could instantly fill a giant hole for the Chargers at free safety, which was most recently resided by Jahleel Adai. So we knew the Chargers needed an upgrade at that position. They took Nazir Adderley in the second round after he got injured at his pro day and fell down the draft boards. Some people even had Nazir Adderley going to the Chargers in the first round when all of the mock drafts and things first started. They got him in the second, but since then, John, he's been very injured. He hasn't been able to stay on the field. And now that we know what's happening with Derwin James, how important is it that the Chargers get this guy on the field and catch him up as quickly as possible?
It is very important. We're going to have some rotational pieces. Right now, it looks like Adrian Phillips and Rayshon Jenkins are going to be your starters. And after that, it's Jalen Watkins, Nazir Adderley, and maybe you keep a guy like Adarius Pickett if you're desperate enough to keep another safety if you put Derwin James on injured reserve to return. So with all that happening right there with just those five guys, with one of them being a scrub and Adarius Pickett, you got to have Adderley up to speed and be ready. He's supposed to be this ball hawking kind of safety that we could probably use on like third and long or something, so he can fly over and knock down the deep pass. But if he's not up to speed, if his hamstring's not game ready, he's going to be hurting again. Hamstrings are a very serious thing to deal with. And if you don't rehab them, if you don't get them up to game speed, you're going to constantly have those issues. And speedy guys tend to have those issues.
And the thing about hamstring injuries is they usually don't last a very long time, but those kind of soft tissue injuries are the ones that get re-aggravated most easily. So if you tear your ACL, there's some sort of just bad luck with that for the most part. It doesn't necessarily mean you're injury prone, but a lot of times with things like hamstrings, where it's these soft tissue muscles, they tend to get re-aggravated. They tend to linger. And it's hard to get someone all the way back. But David, the part that scares me is just the lack of time this guy's had in practice, because when they drafted him, we pretty much assumed he was going to take over the starter role at free safety. Right now, you have two safeties in Adrian Phillips and Rayshon Jenkins that were not starters at those positions last season. So you need Nazir Adderley to come back if you're the Chargers. And the Derwin James injury just reflects that so much more and puts the spotlight on him, because, hey, he's the only reinforcements. We've seen what these other guys have done at the NFL level. We haven't seen Nazir Adderley, but the part that scares me is thinking back to last year when Forrest Lamp kind of struggled to stay fully healthy in the offseason. He was still working his way back from his first season-ending injury in 2017. Do you think there's any way right now that Nazir Adderley can actually get on the field with these guys if he's missing so much of this training camp and the preseason games?
Yeah, I don't think he's going to get on the field right away, Daniel. I mean, I think Anthony Lynn and the coaching staff have shown throughout their tenure that practicing is very important. And if you don't get, you know, a full week of practice in, or you don't at least, you know, practice a couple of days before the game, you're more than likely not going to play. And, you know, he's missed a critical part of his development in training camp, not being there, not, you know, being able to actively install the playbook, you know, on the field. So it's going to be hard. He's going to have to catch up very quickly. You know, he's very talented, obviously. We know what he can do on the football field, but he's coming into a new system. So I think he's going to, you know, take some time. It's going to be a few games before we see Nazir Adderley in the game, actively involved. I think it's just going to take some time to get him back up to speed.
I think it would take a lot for him to be out there week one. I'm not even sure that he's going to play in the preseason. I would say right now it's looking like he's not going to play in the preseason. John, one word answer. Do you think that we see Nazir Adderley in the preseason?
No.
Okay, exactly. So I think we're all on the same line of thinking right there. And the Chargers do struggle to just give those spots away without seeing what you can do. It would be much different if Nazir Adderley was a veteran who was returning to his starting spot. But in the Chargers' mind right now, from everything we've heard, he hasn't earned that spot, which is why you see him come up number four on the depth chart behind Jalen Watkins and Desmond King, who doesn't even take snaps there in the preseason. So speaking of the preseason, guys, I know we don't think we're going to see Nazir Adderley, but everyone wants to know if we're going to see Phillip Rivers. Anthony Lynn commented on this exact subject and said, basically, Phillip Rivers would have to come up to him and tell him specifically, hey, coach, I need a couple of series to knock off the rust and get myself going into the regular season. And if that was going to happen, David, it would be this week, in the third week of the preseason. Nobody plays in the fourth week on Thursday Night Football for the most part. So I don't think Phillip Rivers is going to go up to Anthony Lynn and say that specifically. I know what kind of a competitor he is, but at the same time, we've already heard comments from him saying he got more out of the joint practices than he did in 10 preseason games combined. So I don't think we're going to see Phillip Rivers. Do you disagree with me on that? Do you think we're going to see him? And then also, do you think we're going to see any of the other guys like Melvin Ingram, Thomas Davis, Mike Pouncey even, or Joey Bosa in the third preseason game?
So on Phillip Rivers, I mean, I've heard Phillip Rivers specifically answer a question from a reporter basically stating, hey, do you want to play in the preseason, you know, or something to that effect? Or would you just be, you know, ready to go week one? And Phillip's like, yep, I'll see you September 8th. So that pretty much just solidifies his feelings on the preseason. Do I think we're going to see him? No, I don't think we're going to see. I'm sorry to burst your guys' bubble, fans out there, but don't expect to see Phillip Rivers play at all in the preseason. I just don't think it's going to happen this year. Now, I do think you're probably going to see some Thomas Davis out there for a little bit. I think he's going to want to get out there and hit a few people before we get into the season. And I also think you'll see some Melvin Ingram as well. I don't know if we'll see any Joey Bosa. I would be surprised, but I do expect to see some Thomas Davis, some Melvin Ingram, and I doubt we're going to see any of Mike Pouncey either.
Yeah, with Mike Pouncey, I mean, you've just had too many critical injuries on the offensive line, at least one of the most critical injuries with Russell Okung with that pulmonary embolism. I think Mike Pouncey, no doubt about it, starter, is too critical to have in there. Plus, you've been giving such valuable snaps to Dan Feeney at center. You need to figure out what you have in Scott Quessenberry as well. But I think I like that list out of the guys that we could potentially see that haven't played. Thomas Davis is coming into a new system. Melvin Ingram's are always ready to go out there and give a couple series and smack people around a little bit. So those two guys wouldn't surprise me if we see them on the field this Saturday. But we do have a lot more to talk about, guys. We have Matt Williamson, Brian Peacock, and John Kegley talking all things Chargers. But guys, let's just be excited that football is right around the corner. I mean, two more weeks of preseason, then we'll get real football. We have real college football this weekend already, and it actually counts, which is awesome. But this is a new NFL season, guys. Antonio Brown is on the Raiders. Le'Veon Bell is on the Jets. Odell Beckham is in Cleveland. The one thing that hasn't changed is where I'm putting my money down on all of those games. MyBookie is the place to bet on football every single weekend. MyBookie has better bonuses and more prop bets than any other sportsbook, period. This year, they're hosting the first online handicapping super contest. First place is guaranteed to win at least $100,000, and it costs only $100 to enter. All you got to do is pick five NFL games against the spread every week to climb the leaderboard and score your share of the huge cash prize pool. I would only recommend a service to my listeners that's been good to me, and that's why I go with MyBookie every time, guys. You bet, you win, they pay. Right now, we have a special offer for our listeners because when you put in any amount of money up to $1,000, they will double your first deposit with the promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. Just visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie. And don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON when creating your account to claim the bonus. Bet, win, get paid.
All right, our guest today, one of the hosts of Locked On Chargers. This is John Kegley. We're going to get into everything going on in Charger land, a little bit of bad news, and today some breaking news. John, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me on again.
Yeah, you bet. And it looks like an old familiar face is going to come back to the Chargers, wide receiver Dontrell Inman.
Yes, according to a source reported by Ian Rapport, the Jets and the Chargers both offered a deal to Dontrell Inman, but being able to play with Phillip Rivers was the deciding factor for Dontrell Inman, so he's going to be coming back to where he started.
That's a nice pickup. I mean, I was kind of shocked he was let go. I mean, I'm not saying he's a superstar, but if he's your fourth receiver, you could do a lot worse.
We could do a lot worse, but we also have a guy that Rivers has worked with, and we don't have Tyrell Williams no more, so it's a in my mind, it's a better pickup than having Jeremy Davis or Artavis Scott or Andre Patton, who are the top three guys right now to take that fourth wide receiver spot. I'd rather have Inman be that fourth guy and let those three guys fight for the last wide receiver spot on the roster.
Yeah, I'm with you, totally.
Really the biggest downer, and it even hurts me. I'm not a Chargers guy. I don't cover the Chargers. But Derwin James is such a fun player to watch, and it's going to be a bummer not seeing him out there this year. The prognosis is, I believe, 3 months. Are they staying firm with that since he's had his surgery? What's the outlook like, and what's the vibe around the team?
Yeah, it's still 3 to 4 months. Apparently, he had a screw in his foot that he got back in high school, and the screw bent and in his foot, so they taking that out was a really hard thing, so that's why the surgery is a 3 to 4 month recovery time. But the vibe around the team is basically what it's always been: next man up. Let's get the next guy up. It sucks that Derwin's not there, but we got a game to win. It's just like with Melvin Gordon's issue. We're not worried about Melvin Gordon. We're worried about the three running backs behind him, the next man up. But it's going to be really tough to replace Derwin. I think you can maybe replace the production of Melvin Gordon by using more than one running back, but there's no way you're going to replace Derwin James's production.
Yeah, we'll definitely get to Gordon here in a moment. But, I mean, James was a heartbreaker, like you guys said. I'm glad it happened this early, so maybe he is around at the end of the year or playoff time. I mean, it's not a total wash for the season, possibly. I mean, if I was starting the team with any safety, that would be my pick. I mean, I think he's already amongst the best safeties in the league. But, John, do you agree? You pick up Thomas Davis and you draft Nasir Adderley. James is kind of a mix of those two guys. I think those additions makes his subtraction a little more palatable.
Well, I don't know about that. I mean, yeah, Derwin James is a combination of those two guys, but Nasir Adderley is always hurt with hamstring issues. He hurt it during his pro day, and now he's hurt it again during training camp. He has yet to even get a snap in preseason. So even though talent might be there, the health isn't there. Thomas Davis is just a more of a linebacker kind of thing. So as fast as Thomas Davis has shown during practice, he's been keeping up the speed with a lot of guys. I think it was Cooper Kupp, I think it was, during the Rams joint practice. He ran stride for stride with him to cover a route. But I don't think Thomas Davis is going to be stride for stride with Tyreek Hill or someone like that, like Derwin James could. I think that's where you got to draw the line of how impactful Derwin James can be. But you also need Thomas Davis to be a linebacker. You can't rely on him to be a safety. And the safety position is what's been haunting the Chargers the past few years. Somebody is messing up at safety, whether it was Jahlil Adai, whether it was Trey Boston not tackling, whatever it was, ever since Eric Weddle left, we've always had that void at safety. So Derwin James literally left a big void. And you can try and fill it with some other type of player, but what he did last year was a big difference on this team because it allowed us to actually get pass rush.
I'm sorry, Brian. I'd throw one thing out here. Yeah, speaking of pass rush, though, I think Bosa might lead the league in sacks this year. Like, I really think he's that type of player, and I'm not sure that my audience knows how good he is and will be. Ingram's great, and, man, Jerry Tillery's pretty darn good, too.
Well, Tillery looked really good in his first preseason game. He showed a lot of good hand movement, a lot of good technique, a lot of power, really fast off the ball. There's a guy we were looking at Cortez Broughton that we were talking about before the draft, and he ended up being picked seventh that we were saying could be that kind of guy that gets through a gap but was getting – he looked slow off the ball his first game, better second game. Tillery's first game wasn't even that kind of situation. He was already high in the backfield. Mm-hmm. He didn't play that many plays, so that right there should tell you that what they saw was something that they like. They saw what they like, and it's time to get you out of there before you get hurt. You're just coming out off of shoulder surgery. But I was impressed.
Chris Jones feel too.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I love what the Chargers can do in that nickel front too, and you can just bring everybody. You've got Tillery, you've got Bosa and Melvin Ingram that you could move around. You've got Uchenna Nwosu too that I like. They can get after the quarterback that you could come off the edge and really just put that what I guess it was the New York Giants used to call it the NASCAR package, right? Where they basically had four defensive ends rushing the quarterback in nickel, and it won them a Super Bowl. And I love seeing that kind of ability and that kind of flexibility from a defensive front, and that could definitely help, you know, patch some things up from the back end if you're putting that kind of pressure on the quarterback.
Well, you brought up the Giants because they were the one that called that the NASCAR package, and it helped them beat the Patriots, which is the team that we struggle to get by every time. The way to beat Brady is to have four linemen that can rush the passers so that you can have everybody else back in coverage. And if you have to send that one guy to blitz or something and you have to leave a little hole somewhere, Brady's going to find that hole. So having four guys that are defensive end type and not nose tackle type helps a lot with when the playoffs come around. And the fact that we drafted some guys that are speedy little guys, like you mentioned, Uchenna Nwosu, but we also got Drew Tranquil this year, who's looked like a guy that can fly all over the field. He's been in many different spots. Kazir White and Uchenna have been all over the field during preseason. Those guys are young linebackers that are actually the mix of a safety and a linebacker into one, and they're flying all over the field making plays. So if you can just get four guys to rush, and maybe a fifth guy, if you can get Tranquil, Uchenna, and Kaiser all on the field at the same time during playoffs and not get hurt, because two of those guys were hurt last year. You can get all those guys on the field, you're creating a whole new type of defense for us when we play the Patriots.
I'm glad you brought up White and Tranquil. Reports have been really strong on both young guys. You mentioned it. They're speed linebackers. They're built for today's NFL. What I've seen from the games, they've been impressive as well. And I mentioned Thomas Davis before. He's a great role model, you know, mentor for those type of guys too.
He is. We need that type of person on this team, which I think is why they went after him. Mm-hmm. He may be up there in age, but he's still really productive, but he could teach these young linebackers. Last year during the playoffs, we had no linebackers against the Ravens. We had so many safeties out on the field to play against the Ravens that you couldn't do that against the Patriots. Once the Patriots showed, they're like, oh, this will be easy. These guys are just small little speed guys. We'll just run them over with our running game. You got to have a linebacker at some point. And getting those young guys and having a veteran that could teach them was a smart move in my mind by Telesco.
Along those lines, John, I know everybody praised the Chargers. They had the total answer for this Ravens running game. Just put a million defensive backs on the field. And I was kind of like, well, I think they have a million defensive backs on the field because they don't have any linebackers. It wasn't like it was this brilliant move as much as I thought they saw the Ravens for a second time, which was very valuable. And their defensive backs are good players, but they had that many defensive backs in the field because they didn't have any linebackers.
Yeah, I think it was a mixture of both. As far as having all the defensive backs on the field, it wasn't a, hey, I got an idea, let's do this. It was more of, this is what I have, I got to put it on the field because guys like Nick DeZuna aren't going to be making plays for me. It's got to be these safeties. But the play calling that Gus Bradley made up for that game against the Ravens was absolutely genius. He had a way to use everybody he had to their strength and stop the Ravens offense. The first game against the Ravens, I personally thought we still did pretty well defensively, but guys like Jahlil Adai don't know how to keep their guy in front of them, and they got that one long touchdown that made the difference in the game. I personally think if it wasn't for that, no one would be talking about how we adjusted to the Ravens. We basically did the same thing just without linebackers.
We're talking with John Kegley of Locked On Chargers, talking a lot about the defensive side of the ball here. John, I want to get to the offensive side of the ball after the break. Okay, big time holdout. There's got to be something done in the CBA next time with the way running back contracts are done, and you're just seeing guys that are really fighting for that second big contract, and it's really maybe the only big contract they're going to get in the NFL. And so when you have a first-round running back that is under team control for 4 years, and then you get the fifth-year option, and then you've got franchise tag, it's rough for that position, and I totally understand guys holding out, and they need to get paid, and they need to get into that second contract. But at the same time, for the team, it's like, does it matter that much? And you see the guys like Eckler. I really like what they have behind Melvin Gordon. Where, first of all, is this contract negotiation? And then how do you feel about the team if Gordon was out for an extended period of time?
Well, the negotiation right now is the Chargers offered $10 million a year to Melvin Gordon. I don't know what the guaranteed money is, but I know they offered him $10 million a year, and he wants $13 million, and I think that's a greedy move in my opinion. I don't think that he should be getting that extra $3 million a year because, one, he's not healthy on a consistent basis. He always misses games. Last year when he was gone, we were 4-0 without him, and yeah, his touchdown numbers are high, which is what a lot of people are going to say. They're going to say not many people have as many touchdowns as Gordon has the past 3 years. But at the same time, most of those touchdowns were from inside the five because Rivers moved the ball down the field to get him those touchdowns. So it's not like he's LaDainian Tomlinson and breaking off 40 and 50-yard touchdown runs game in and game out. So $10 million, I think, is a perfect number, and I think he should take that. But he's staying in San Diego, practicing, just waiting on a call. He doesn't want to budge. So if you were to ask me my opinion on it and my feelings, I personally feel we should trade him. I think we should trade him to someone with an offensive lineman that's decent. I'm not going to say great, just a decent one that's better than what we have because we don't really have a great offensive line. If you trade him for an offensive lineman who's decent, doesn't cost that much, and maybe some draft picks, you can improve your offensive line for Justin Jackson, Austin Eckler, and whoever that third running back is going to be, whether it's Tre'Quan Newsome or Tremaine Pope. And you can save some cap space by trading Gordon as well, and go sign another offensive lineman somewhere off the streets that can improve that O-line. If you can improve the O-line, I think the offense will be just fine with those three backs. If he has to play before week 10. If he misses week 10, then his contract moves over to next year, and I don't think he wants that. So I don't think he's going to miss the whole season.
My quick thoughts on that, you said a lot of good stuff there, are $10 million's fair, $13 million's crazy. He's a good, very good player. Not a $13 million a year type of running back. I bet in the end he ends up getting 11 and comes in and everybody's happy. I like your plan on trading him because I like Eckler a lot, and I'm a really big Justin Jackson believer. But outside of Tampa, I'm not sure who would want – I mean, who needs a running back? I just don't know where the second one to tango in that dance would be.
Well – there's guys like maybe the Bills, because there's a lot of reports that LeSean McCoy isn't going to be with the team. That could be somebody. Somebody's willing to get a big running back, someone that could be close. Even maybe the Patriots. I mean, yeah, they got Sony Michel, but they like guys like that, and they'll gladly take that 1 year that Melvin Gordon has and then tell him, hey, you're going to win a Super Bowl, then after that you can go get paid. That's basically Belichick's way of doing things. He grabs these all-star players, makes them play for low money, and then when they win the Super Bowl, they go get paid somewhere else and never produce again. I can see your point that not many people are going to want to go for that trade, but there's going to be somebody that wants it, especially guys like Buffalo, and you mentioned Tampa. So I think it's a chance to try it out. It's better than just letting him walk like we have with so many other guys in this Chargers history. We've had so many good guys that we just let walk into free agency instead of getting something, whether it's a fifth round pick or a seventh round pick, just get something back for this talent.
When you look at the offensive line that's going to be blocking for whether it's Eckler, Jackson, or if Gordon does come back, and I'm totally with you, I would be trying to trade Gordon if I were the Chargers, and we'll see if that's the route they want to go. How is the line taking shape? I know there's the Russell Okung injury. I believe he's still on the non-football injury list. And then I have some questions about Forrest Lamp and where's he at? And it looks like he's not even going to be a starting player for the Chargers, which is disappointing because he's a player I loved coming out of college. So what's the makeup of that offensive line looking like right now?
Well, right now, with Okung out with his blood clot problems that he needs to heal up from before he can play, because that's a life and death situation. That's not a let's see if I can walk on it and deal with the pain situation. It's going to be Trent Scott at left tackle. They've shown Dan Feeney at left guard, but I've seen a lot of Forrest Lamp at left guard too. Pouncey is obviously your center. Schofield is your right guard, and Sam Tevy is the right tackle. I'm hoping they kick out Feeney and put Lamp at left guard. He's better than Feeney for sure. Feeney has not been productive the past few years.
He's been surprisingly bad.
Oh yeah. We had high hopes for him. We had high hopes for him when he came out, and he's just been pushed around like a rag doll. His first NFL game, he got pushed 3 yards back against Denver, and they were able to block the game tying field goal. So then after that, he got a little bit better, and then he never got anything better than that. He basically hit his peak and went down. Tevy has been getting thrown around. I went to the joint practice against the Saints, and he was just getting pushed around everywhere by the Saints D-line. Same thing happened in the preseason game. I was at the game and had a good view of him. I watched him hold people, get pushed back. Tevy's just a train wreck. We got to find something else. That's why I want to trade Gordon and use that money to get another offensive lineman, maybe a right tackle, Jeremy Parnell or somebody like that. But Forrest Lamp has looked – I don't want to say he's looked great. He's not the guy we expect him to be yet. He probably moved back into that. It has been 2 years since he's played football. But he looks better than Feeney. He looks better than Tevy. He looks better than Schofield. I'd say he's the second, if not the third, best offensive lineman on the team right now behind Okung for sure. And then it's, do you think Pouncey or Lamp is better? That's the argument people can make. But I think Lamp's been doing fine. He's held his own so far. He's improving each game, each practice.
John, a couple times throughout recently, I've even said – When everybody's healthy, that I think the Chargers might have the best roster in the league. But the one thing I've been critical of them is they didn't do enough on the offensive line this offseason, and I'm fearing that it's going to come back to bite them. And to take it a step further, I wonder if you agree. If I could say, if I could wave a magic wand and you could either have Okung or Gordon for the season, I'd much rather have Okung.
And to that I say, amen, preach, my brother. Okung is definitely more valuable because even if you have Gordon on the field, who's going to block for him and who's going to block for Rivers? I'd much rather have Okung and another offensive lineman if you can get rid of Gordon. And I like that you brought that up because there's some guys that like to talk about, well, Melvin has this, and they go in his stats and stuff. It's like, yeah, well, Melvin had an okay offensive line that was healthy, just not that great when he was doing that. Now he's not going to have anybody. So what's he going to do now? And I've honestly had some opinions that maybe Gordon could possibly start week one because maybe he's just trying to skip training camp to avoid injury, or he's just going all the way to week 10 to save injury so that after this year he can go somewhere else and not lose money because of a knee injury or something like that, like Earl Thomas did with the Seahawks last year. So there's stuff like that that is making me wonder if Gordon could come back. But in the end, Okung is more valuable in my mind. But the offensive line is the thing holding this team back. If you were just to look at it on paper, everything is like the green light except for that offensive line. That's like the danger zone. You know, you got to like get a construction over there to put caution tape and fix it.
That's we drafted, the big pothole in the highway,
We drafted Trey Pipkins in the third round, which was absolutely horrible. I hated the pick. It didn't make sense to me at all that you use a third-round pick. The Chargers' third-round woos are still happening, and he has not looked good at all in the preseason or in practice. Against the Cardinals, we actually were sent a video by one of our listeners on Locked On Chargers that he took on TV of Trey Pipkins actually running past his assignment, and his assignment ended up going in the backfield and making the tackle on the running back. And just seeing that just shows that he's far from what he's supposed to be. They call him a project, but I don't know. I feel like this is a 5-year-old trying to make those giant science projects right now.
I didn't understand the pick at all. It just seemed like a desperate shot in the dark to find a tackle. You know, he should have addressed it earlier and should have addressed it with somebody a little more pedigree.
You could have got Bobby Evans in the later draft rounds. He went like fifth or sixth round, if I remember correctly, out of Oklahoma. Yeah, and I thought he was a pretty decent guy. I think he was a hit or miss guy, not a project guy. I think you could have took a chance on him instead of Trey Pipkins.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like Bobby Evans too. Hey, John, thank you for the time. Real quick, Philip Rivers, got to ask about him. There have been talks about how he's slowed down toward the end of seasons. And for someone like you who's watched him for a long period of time, how long do you think Philip Rivers has left? And do you think there is or should be a succession plan in place?
He said he wants to play in the new stadium. So I think for sure that's going to happen. So that's at least 2 years right there. And I think he might go for a third just to really take in the stadium. And then the next year be like his, you know, goodbye year. He takes in the stadium 1 year and then he actually just goes all out and says, this is it. If I don't get the Super Bowl and whatever, my career is done. And people say he slows down at the end of the year, but Rivers is the only one that's playing almost the whole entire year, every single year. Everyone else is always injured and he has to find a way to make it work. We played the Chiefs last year towards the end of the year and he had Chris Jones in his face almost every single play because of our horrible offensive line. And somehow he was still making plays to guys off his back foot. So I don't think it's him slowing down. I think it's him losing his talent. But he somehow still makes plays later in the year. And you got to go with coaches, too. Like against the Patriots, we had the most predictable offensive game plan. And on defense, we ran zone the whole game. I mean, Brady's going to destroy you if you run zone. You got to run man at some point. We never did. So it was just the easiest game plan. Like, here, Patriots, please destroy us. So I don't think it's Rivers alone. Yeah, he's had his moments where he just doesn't do good in the playoffs. But at the same time, his guys are getting hurt too. So I think it's a mixture of things. I can't just put it all on Rivers.
All right, guys. Well, that wraps things up for today's show. Special thanks to Locked On NFL, Brian Peacock, and Matt Williamson for having John on the show and talking football. It's always nice to hear what those guys' perspectives are on everything because they are covering the entire league. So they have a lot to compare and contrast against. Until next time, guys, we'll be back with you tomorrow. But until then, make sure to follow us on Twitter at Locked On LAC. And to like the Facebook page, Locked On Chargers, as well as subscribing to us wherever you get your podcast from, whether it's Spotify, Google Podcasts, TuneIn, or whatever. The Locked On Chargers will be on there. And if you guys want to get your voice on the show, make sure to call in to 323-524-7924. That's the number for the Locked On Chargers voicemail. Every call that we record, guys, gets played on the show in your own voice. That's pretty cool, guys. So if you want to do that, make sure to call into 323-524-7924. All right, guys, we'll be back with you tomorrow to preview the Chargers' third preseason game against the Seahawks. But until then, take it easy and go Bolts.